The will of God will be realized in your life only when there is a dissatisfaction with things as they are. And your spirit will be filled with joy in your life with a sense of fulfillment when you know and do the will of God. Draw a mental picture and stand with Moses before the bush which burns with fire but is not consumed. Listen with your heart and you will hear the voice of God saying, "You're standing on holy ground." Realize the majesty of Him before whom you stand and respond to His person with a deep reverence of spirit. Listen more carefully, and you'll understand that God comes to you because He has a purpose to use you, to bless many people, and to do His will. Stand reverently and realize that your complacent spirit has melted in the presence of your blessed Lord. Here is the cure for complacency. Complacency is cured when you make a commitment in faith to God. Moses responded to God's command to go into Egypt, bring out the people of Israel, saying, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" He must have been remembering his aborted attempt to do that very thing 40 years before. He felt exactly as you and I feel when confronted with the challenge to be God's agent in some ministry beyond our ability. "Who am I," we ask, "that I could do such a thing?" The task is too great for any person, but it's never too great for the Lord. That is where we're called to faith. We do our best trusting, and He does all the rest. The response of God to our question gives us courage, for God says, "Certainly, I will be with you. I have sent you." Oh, what a difference the presence of the Lord makes. Someone has said, "God in one person is a majority in any situation." And one of our old Christian hymns reads, "If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me wherever I be, if He is there." I say, what a difference the presence of the Lord makes. You have experienced it, haven't you? Well, accepting God's commission was not an easy thing for Moses to do. He was already a failure at the very task God assigned to him. How easy it would have been for him to say, "I've already tried and failed. It would be no use to try again." But Moses didn't say that. After a discussion with God about his inability and God's enabling, he made a commitment which you and I need to make. Moses would learn that failing without God is a totally different thing than succeeding with God. So he responded, "God, however you can use me, I am available." That is the commitment of faith in God. Complacency is cured when you receive an enabling from God. Moses offered several excuses as to why he could not do what God assigned. The Lord responded patiently to each excuse, and He deals with us in like manner today, bless His name. The one excuse was, "I do not have sufficient knowledge of spiritual things." Moses complained, "Suppose they asked me the name of God, I wouldn't know what to tell them." His excuse of theological ignorance was dispelled when God told him His name, "I Am." Moses was told to say, "I Am has sent me to you." So God took care of his limited knowledge. A second, "I cannot be convincing in my presentation," Moses insisted. "If I tell them God has sent me, they'll not believe me." Well, God responded by giving Moses two miracles to perform. First, his shepherd's staff became a snake when he cast it down and became a staff again when he picked it up by the tail. And second, his hand became leprous when he placed it in his bosom and removed it, then became healthy when he placed it in his bosom and removed it a second time. The problem of the people's unbelief was answered by the power to perform miracles. Third, "I am not an effective speaker," Moses explained. "I am slow of speech and have a dull presentation." God had an answer for that. "I made man's mouth," God said, "and I can make you speak plainly. But even so, I have given you Aaron, your brother, to be your spokesman before Pharaoh. You tell Aaron what to say, and he will speak for you." So inability as a public speaker is no excuse for not serving God. Then Moses said, "Lord, I just don't want to go." And for the first time, the Lord became angry at Moses. At last, Moses had no alternatives left. It was to obey God or to disobey Him by an outright refusal of His known will. And Moses went. God reported how He qualified Moses to assure you that He'll qualify you for whatever He requires of you. Jesus said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth." Now, you need no more enabling than that. Picture yourself going about God's work with the power of God's own Holy Spirit resting on you and working through you. That is your birthright as a child of God, and it'll be the end of your complacency. Again, complacency is cured when you do the work of God. Moses returned to his father-in-law with the request, "Let me go and return to my brethren which are in Egypt and see whether they are yet alive." He was no longer satisfied with his comfortable arrangement as Jethro's son-in-law and Zipporah's husband. He could no longer live contentedly when others were in trouble. He must do the will of God. His complacency was gone forever. Now, serving God gives a meaning to life that you can find nowhere else. You can become so accustomed to making a living that you do not truly live. But life has meaning in the will of God, and only in the will of God. But you never experience the blessing of knowing and doing God's will so long as you're satisfied to remain as you are. Flee complacency as you would flee a plague. It is a serious illness of the spirit. I encourage you to hear and respond to God, whatever your age or condition in life. Moses was 80 years old when God called him, but he did his greatest work between the ages of 80 and 120. Now, with a very sincere desire to know, ask God, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" And when you know the will of God, devote your best energies to do it. That's the highest and most rewarding vocation you can follow. What is the will of God for your life? Well, I know it is the will of God for you, as for every other person, to receive Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. When He enters your life as Lord, the first thing He does is to settle your sin problem as your Savior. And it is the will of God for you to confess publicly your faith in Christ. Christian baptism is the way the Lord has designed for you to make a public declaration that you belong to Him. Further, it is the will of God for you to enter the membership and share the ministry of a New Testament church upon your confession of faith in Christian baptism. Again, it is the will of God for you to continue to grow toward spiritual maturity. And as you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you will become more effective in serving Him. Now, the will of God will be realized in your life only when there is a dissatisfaction with things as they are. The Bible calls that hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Your own spirit will be filled with joy and your life with a sense of fulfillment as you know and do the will of God. Think back over the causes of complacency and beware of them. Think over the cures for a complacent spirit and develop them. Be available for God to set you afire as He did Moses, and you can burn for a lifetime to your joy and to His glory. Father, do not let us rest so long as we are complacent with things as they are. Stir us up that you might use us to make things as they should be. We want to be the people of God who spread abroad the fragrance of your holy name. So use us, please, for Jesus' sake. Amen.